your Bibles with you, turn with me to the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis, chapter number 5. Pardon? Genesis chapter number 5. If you're new to surfing through Scripture, don't start at the back. Genesis chapter number 5. We're going to pick it up at verse number 18. Genesis chapter 5, verse 18. If you found it, stand up. Some of you have been sitting for a while. Maybe you need to stretch your legs, and you may be sitting a while, so you might want to take this break. Genesis chapter 5, verse 18. And Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the way you've met with us. You've met with us through the ministry of the children. You've met with us through the ministry of prayer and your presence in anointing and healing. You've met with us in your presence in the singing, both congregational and special music. And I pray, Lord, now that your presence would continue to move among us in the preaching of your word. May these elements have prepared us to receive your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. What we have here in Genesis chapter 5, verses 18 to 24, is seven verses that tell us about the life of a fellow by the name of Enoch, that tell us about his duration on this earth from the time he was born until he left this earth, 365 years. But the amazing part of it is we see in these 365 years, there's seven verses that tell this whole story. This fellow by the name of Enoch, there's only three other verses in Scripture that even talk about him. And all three of those verses are in the New Testament. One of them's in the book of Luke chapter 3, verse 37, where he's included in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. I'll get the other two here in just a little bit. But we have 10 verses that tell us about the life of this fellow 365 years on this earth. I would like to call this the epitaph or the obituary of Enoch. But there's a problem with that. We write obituaries concerning people who have died. I've read a lot of obituaries. In fact, one time, that was one of the reasons, the only reason I bought our local newspaper, so I could read the obituaries. And lo and behold, I read it one time and found my name in it. I wasn't the deceased, but that was how I discovered I was the one that was supposed to be preaching the funeral. I thought, what would have happened had I not read it in the obituary? I asked the funeral director. He said, I thought the family asked you. I asked the family. They said, we thought the funeral director asked you. And nobody asked me or informed me I was preaching the funeral. Anyway, but the problem is, the obituary is something we write about somebody when they die. The epitaph is something that we put on their tombstone. And I don't know if you've read very many epitaphs. I've done a lot of walking in cemeteries, and it's amazing what people have etched on their tombstone that they want to be remembered by. I mean, sometimes there's the ordinary, like devoted father or precious mother or loving child, or on and on the list goes. The funniest one I ever heard about And when I read it, I thought somebody was making it up. But lo and behold, this is etched on a tombstone in the little town of Oak Hill, Ohio, not very far from where I grew up. And in this little cemetery, on this tombstone, here's what you will read. I told you I was sick. Anyway, perhaps one of the more famous epitaphs, if you were in a cemetery in Arlington, Virginia, you would read on a tombstone, "Here lies in honored glory an American soldier known but to God." That is etched on the tomb of the unknown soldier. Another one that's on a lighter side. How many of you are familiar with the name Mel Blanc? It's going to date you. If you know that name, you're at least probably as old as I am. Mel Blanc was known as the man of a thousand voices. And if you loved Warner Brothers and Looney Tunes cartoons like I did, he was the voice of Bugs Bunny, Porky Pig, Daffy Duck, Foghorn Leghorn, Yosemite Sam, all those great cartoon characters. Mel Blanc was the voice of those characters. If you're familiar with that, you would not be surprised what is etched on his tombstone. It simply says, "That's all, folks." And so, but this is not the epitaph. This is not the obituary of Enoch. You say, well, why isn't it? Well, I'm glad you asked. You're still asking good questions. You keep it up. Look with me at verse number 5. In verse number 5, the last three words it says about Adam was, "and he died." In verse number 8, the last three words it says about Seth was, "and he died." In verse number 11, the last three words it says about Enos was, "and he died." In verse 14, the last three words it says about Cainan was, "and he died." In verse 17, the last three words it says about Mahalalel was, "and he died." In verse 20, the last three words it says about Jared was, "and he died." I will challenge you to look for those words concerning Enoch. Enoch did not die. Verse 24 said, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Enoch was a very real person. When it says he was not, it doesn't mean he's a figment of our imagination. He did not die. One moment, he's a very real, living, breathing human being on the face of this earth, and the next moment, God just takes him on the glory. Enoch's life. There may only be 10 verses of Scripture that talk about him, but those 10 verses speak volumes about our relationship with God. In fact, Enoch's life either portrays or prophesies three great events in the Word of God. His translation is a portrait of the rapture of the church. My little brain can't comprehend how that's all going to work out. But I want you to know this. If God can take someone like Enoch, who's walking on this earth one moment, and the next moment he takes him on to glory, then I want you to know he can get this little short fat boy out of here, okay? I'm reminded of what Paul told the Thessalonican believers. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18, there's a coming a day, and it could be very near, "for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Listen, church, there's coming a day when the trump of God will sound and we're going to head out of here. I won't need Nike Air Jordan tennis shoes. I won't need a catapult. I won't need a trampoline. I won't need an airplane. All I'll need is plain air, and I'm zooming out of here. I'll leave the details up to God. Amen. His life is his translation is a portrait of the rapture of the church. I'll share the other things with you in a minute if I don't forget. But Enoch walked with God. Of all of the things, 365 years he's on this earth. And all that is said about him is he walked with God. I want to ask you tonight, if this were your last night on the face of this earth, what would be said about you? What would be listed in your obituary? Could it just simply be said that you walked with God? I thought about that, and I thought, oh, if Enoch can walk with God in such a way that one moment he's on the face of this earth, and the next moment God takes him onto glory, then I think I want to learn something from him. What was it? What was it about Enoch's walk that made that possible? And when we look at these 10 verses that tell us about this fellow by the name of Enoch, we discover what it was about his walk. I want to share it with you tonight, because the good news is this: you can, and I can, walk with God just like Enoch walked with God. You say, really? How? Now, I want you to listen on this first one. This first one is so theologically profound and deep. If you don't listen close, it'll go right over your head. I'm just kidding. Enoch walked with God. Are you ready for this? If you want to walk with God like Enoch walked with God, you'll have to walk with God by faith. Walk with God by faith. You say, now, Brother George, what makes you think that Enoch walked with God by faith? Because here in these 7 verses in Genesis, it doesn't say anything about him walking with God by faith. I'm glad you brought that up. Remember, I told you there were 2 other verses we haven't looked at yet. We looked at Luke 3:37, where he's included in the genealogy of Jesus. But guess where one of the other scriptures are? It's found in the faith chapter of the Bible. In Hebrews 11, look with me at verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you want to walk with God like Enoch walked with God, you must walk with God by faith. In fact, throughout the Word of God, that's what we're instructed to do. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4. In Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4, it says, the just shall live by his faith. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 17, the just shall live by faith. In Galatians, chapter 3, verse 11, the just shall live by faith. In Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 38, the just shall live by faith. So whether you walk with God in the Old Testament, whether you walk with God in the New Testament, whether you walk with God in 2019, you have to walk with God by faith. You say, now, Brother George, if we're to walk with God by faith, where do we get our faith to walk by? I'm glad you brought that up. In the book of Romans, chapter 10. In Romans, chapter 10, verse number 17, it says, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you want to increase your faith, increase your diet of the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm convinced that one of the reasons we are anemic in our faith is because we're anorexic in the word. Let me repeat that. We are anemic in our faith because we're anorexic in the word. We need to get back to getting a diet of God's word from here. There are many people that come to the house of God needing to feed on the word of God. And in many places, not the ones you're thinking of, but other ones, in many places, they're not getting the word of God. I thank God for wonderful Christian authors, but too many times our pulpits have turned into nothing than some man's book review, and we need to get back to declaring the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. You say, now wait a minute, Brother George. If faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, and here is Enoch, seven generations from Adam, how much word of God do you think he could have had? Some of you may even want to debate with me that you wouldn't think that there was any written, revealed word of God by Enoch's day. I will take you to task on that, but let's just supposing you're right and I'm wrong. If there was no written, revealed word of God by Enoch's day, now, the word of God should be our primary source of faith. It's not our only source of faith. In fact, long before I ever gave my heart to the Lord at an altar, as a young boy, 12 years old, sitting in my home church, I didn't know the Word of God. I couldn't have quoted John 3:16 when I first started going to church. But I will share this with you. I started having faith in God before I even knew much about the Word of God. How did that happen? I'll tell you. Because as I sat there, in those days, people would get up and testify. And they would testify how the Lord had saved them from their sin. They would testify how the Lord had sanctified their carnal heart. They would testify how the Lord had delivered them from addictive behaviors. They would testify how the Lord had touched them and healed them. They would testify how the Lord had provided for them. I started having faith in God from what I'd heard about God. And even if there hadn't been any written word by Enoch's day, I believe that that was one of the sources of Enoch's faith. I believe he had faith in God from what he'd heard about God. Now, I know you're dying to ask, so you might as well. Brother George, what do you think he had heard about God? I'm glad you asked. Since you did, I'll tell you. What had Enoch heard about God? Well, many of you are taking notes, so get ready. I want you to help me out. We're going to do a simple math problem. Not the common core garbage, okay? It's simple math, all right? Addition. Go with me to chapter 5, verse 3. In chapter 5, verse 3, the word says that Adam was 130 years old when Seth was born. Would you write down 130? Then in verse 6, it says that Seth was 105 when Enosh was born. So write down 105. Now in verse 9. In verse 9 it says that Enosh was 90 years old when Cainan was born. So write down 90. In verse 12 it says that Cainan was 70 years old when Mahalalel was born. So write down 70. In verse 15 it says Mahalalel was 65 years old when Jared was born. Write down 65. In verse 18 it says that Jared was 162 when Enoch was born. You had to have six figures. 130, 105, 90, 70, 65, and 162. Add that up. It should be 622. If that's not it, you got the wrong answer. 622. What that means is that represents the age of Adam when Enoch was born. Now, back up to verse 5. In verse 5, we read that Adam lived to be 930 years old. That means that for 308 years, Adam and Enoch were on the face of this earth at the same time. In fact, Adam was Enoch's great-great-great-great-grandfather. And I don't know what that means to you. We've got some grandparents here. And grandparents are notorious for stories that they tell. Whether they're true or not, that I leave that up to them. But grandparents are good at telling stories. Can you just imagine the stories that Adam could have told little Enoch? Can you imagine him taking little Enoch by the hand and said, little Enoch, let me tell you about the wonders of walking with God in the garden before sin came into this world. Let me tell you what it was like to walk through the woods without getting briars. Let me tell you what it was like to grow a garden without the bugs eating it up. Let me tell you the wonders of walking with God in the garden. He could have also told little Enoch about the warnings. Little Enoch, whatever you do, You watch out for the devil, that sly old serpent. You make sure you walk close enough with God that there's no room for him to get in. In fact, I want to share with you a hypothetical grandpa story that Adam could have told Enoch. Adam and Enoch strolling one day on a hillside. Adam points down there in a valley where there's a beautiful garden that has an angel guarding it with a flaming sword. Adam says to little Enoch, you see that beautiful garden down there? Oh, yes, great, 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 great grandfather Adam. That's a beautiful place. Your great, 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 great grandmother Eve and I used to live there. Really, grandfather? What happened? She ate us out of house and home. Anyway, that sounds like a grandfather story, doesn't it? Anyway, but I believe Enoch had faith in God from what he'd heard about God. But for those of you that don't think there was any written, revealed word of God by Enoch's day, there is evidence and proof that Enoch is a prophet of God. And we even know what one of his prophecies was. Going back, remember I told you there are three great events that Enoch's life portrays or prophesies. His translation is a portrait of the rapture of the church. But we also know, remember I told you there are three verses in the New Testament, Luke 3:37 we looked at, Hebrews 11:5 we looked at. Go with me to Jude, that's the book right before Revelation, Jude verse number 14. Don't ask me which chapter, pick any of them, it'll work. Jude, verse number 14. Get this. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. So this is the same Enoch. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Enoch's translation is not only a portrait of the rapture, but Enoch himself is prophesying about that day when the Lord is coming back. You see, the difference between the rapture and the second coming, the church is taken up to meet the Lord in the second coming. He's bringing us back. The Lord will set foot on this earth. And Enoch prophesied about that. Would you agree with me? If Enoch is prophesying the word of God, he is getting the word of God directly. That trumps anything that has been written before that. He's hearing the word of God. Enoch had faith. He had faith in what he'd heard about God. He had faith in what he'd heard from God. But there's something else about Enoch's walk. Not only did he walk with God by faith, but he walked with God in fellowship. Hebrews 11:5 speaks volumes concerning Enoch's walk with God. The last few words of Hebrews 11:5, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Would God say that about you tonight? Would God say that about you? You have this testimony that you're living a life that pleases me. That's fellowship. 365 years Enoch was on this earth, and down to the end of it, God said this: he pleases me. Say, what we do? If you want to walk with God in fellowship, here's a secret. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If the positive of that is true, and it is, the negative is also true, which means it is equally correct to say this: if we don't walk in the light as he is in the light, we don't have fellowship. And the prophet Amos said this in Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Amos said, can two walk together except they be agreed? Listen to me, church. If we're going to walk with God, and if we're going to walk with God in fellowship, we need to walk with God in agreement. That means we say yes to what He says yes to and no to what He says no to. Now, I know you're going to find this hard to believe. I find it hard to believe myself, but up our way in Southeast Ohio, I have actually heard people testify to something like this. Well, bless God. I've not always walked with Him, but He's always walked with me. Watch my head. It can't happen. Somebody's fooling themselves. Say, what do you mean? If Brother Lee and I decide we're going to go on a walk together, and we go out here to Lieutenant Pede Road, and we walk together out the driveway, but when we get to Lieutenant Pede Road, he goes to the right and I go to the left. Listen to me. There'll be a while. Did I say something wrong about the road? I got a feeling I did. That road out there, whatever it's called. Anyway, let's just go to old road back there. Okay. Anyway, if he goes to the right and I go to the left, for a while, even though I need assistance, I will see him a long time. For a while, I need assistance with hearing. He won't have to walk very far that direction. I'll no longer hear his voice in my ear. And the longer we go that way, the fainter his voice will get and the dimmer his presence will get in my life. To where there'll come a point in time I no longer hear him, I no longer see him. Listen to me, that's what happens when we don't walk in the light. The moment we walk against light, God's voice gets fainter, His presence gets dimmer. You don't backslide overnight. People do backslide. And it's because we don't walk in the light of God's Word. And the longer we walk that way, it will become darkness to us. First, in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Why does the world hate the church? Why does the world hate the Word of God? Because it shines a spotlight on their ungodly deeds and they run to the corners like a roach-filled room. If you want to walk with God like Enoch walked with God, you walk with God by faith and you walk with God in fellowship. Let me share one more with you. If you're going to walk with God like Enoch walked with God, and this is going to sound like I'm repeating myself, but it's not. Enoch walked with God in faithfulness. You say, now, Brother George, what's the difference between walking by faith and walking in faithfulness? I'll tell you one big difference. When I think about faith, I think about having faith at a specific moment for a specific thing. Whether it's saving faith, whether it's sanctifying faith, whether it's healing faith, or whatever. But listen, I have read statistics that there are millions of people in America that say they have faith in God. But I'm going to churches week after week and I'm preaching to empty pews and I'm preaching to 2 or 3 dozen people and I'm saying, where are all of those faithful people? Don't talk to me about your faith in God if you are not following up by being faithful. My wife and I used to sing a song that said, it's not the first mile that's so important. It's the last mile when day is done. It's important to start this race, but we got to finish this thing. And we've got folks that are not finishing very well. 365 years, Enoch was faithful. Do you realize what the average lifespan of Enoch's relative was? The average lifespan of Enoch's relatives was 900 years old. That's a pretty good gene pool. Slightly higher than what our family has. The average lifespan, 900 years old. He is 365 years old. Do you realize, relatively speaking, he would have been considered a young adult in his generation? He could have had an attitude that says this, I got plenty of time to get right with God. I got a good 500 years before I need to think about walking with God. He didn't know that. Enoch was faithful. You say, what? What made him so faithful? Even though his family lived to be so old, why did he feel he needed to be faithful at 365? I'm glad you brought that up. Remember the three things. I said Enoch's life portrays or prophesies three great events. His translation is a portrait of the rapture. He prophesied about the second coming of the Lord. But he has one other prophecy that we know that he makes. You say, well, now wait a minute, Brother George. We've already looked at all 10 verses. We've already read them all. What other prophecy are you talking about? You read it, you just overlooked it. Enoch prophesies the coming judgment of the flood. One of the prophecies that Enoch makes is about the coming judgment of the flood. Because here's the sad testimony. Already, by seven generations from Adam, the world had gotten so corrupt and vile and ungodly that God had already determined, I'm going to destroy the earth. So if you think that you can cop out when walking with God like Enoch did because, well, you don't understand the day in which I live. You don't understand the people I got to put up with. Enoch lived in a day it was already so ungodly, God was going to destroy the earth. He said, where's that prophecy? Go back with me to verse 21. Chapter 5, verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. It was right there in the naming of Methuselah. You realize when Mrs. Enoch, whoever she was expecting their first child, she didn't go to Walmart and get a baby book and say, popular names for babies. In fact, there are some of you, I could almost guess the decade in which you were born simply by the name that you have. In some decades, there are names that are very popular. In fact, there are some names that are no longer being used that maybe some of your grandparents were called, and nobody gets named that anymore. Well, many times in Scripture, people were named after they were born, and due to the circumstances of their birth or their disposition, we know that Isaac was named Isaac because it means laughter, and they laughed at the thought they'd have a baby. We know Jacob was named Jacob because it means deceiver, supplanter, heel grasper. That was his very nature. We know that many times individuals were named because an angel of the Lord said, you're going to name this baby that. Okay, we'll name him that. Well, there's a reason why. I mean, after all, what mama would name their child Methuselah? Anyway, there's a reason he's named Methuselah. The name Methuselah means this. The short definition means a javelin or dart. Like an Olympian that would throw the javelin and hit the target. But the unabridged definition of Methuselah means this. When he is gone, it will be sent. When he is gone, it will be sent. What God was saying to Enoch And what Enoch was saying to the rest of the world, judgment is coming. And it is all wrapped up in the life of this baby. When this baby dies, judgment is coming. So Enoch is preaching that. There was one bit of information God did not let Enoch in on. He did not tell him how long Methuselah would live. So he had to live every day like it would be Methuselah's last. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the hysteria the first time Methuselah got a fever? Better get ready, this boy might die. Anyway, when he's gone, it will be sent. I'd realize some of you have every right to be skeptical and critical that all of that would be wrapped up in the naming of a baby and in that one name. I understand. So let's put it to a test. You got your pencil and paper. Well, we're going to do an easier addition problem. Just two factors. Go with me to chapter 5, verse 25. In chapter 5, verse 25, it says that Methuselah was 187 when he had a baby boy by the name of Lamech. Are you with me? Write down 187. Go with me to verse 28. In verse 28, it says Lamech was 182 when he had a baby boy. In verse 29, guess what he named his baby boy? Noah. Would you add those two figures? 187 and 182. 369. Good. 369. That number is the age of Methuselah when Noah was born. 369. Now, go back to verse 27. In verse 27, we find out how long Methuselah lived. 969, right? All right. So, if the flood is going to come, if this prophecy is true, and the flood is going to come in the year that Methuselah dies, and he'll be 969, how old would that make Noah when Methuselah died? 600. So if this prophecy is true, how old does Noah have to be when the flood comes? 600. 600. For convenience sake, let's go to 7-Eleven. Not the gas station. Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day where the fountains of the deep broken up and the windows of heaven were open. If you don't want to believe that one, go back to verse 6. Chapter 7, verse 6. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. When he is gone, it will be sent. Just like Enoch had prophesied. Enoch had to live every day like it might be Methuselah's last. But guess what? 969 years went by. That if there were ever a testimony to the grace and the mercy and the long suffering of God, he waited 969 years. He kept extending out and reaching out to people. But listen to me, there was a day when God's mercy and long-suffering came to an end. Methuselah died and the flood came. Judgment came. Listen to me, church. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, after this, the judgment. None of us know how long we're going to live. We have no guarantee. Are you walking with God right now the way you'd want to be walking with Him should this be your last day on the face of this earth? We got to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Matthew 10:22. Matthew 24:13. It said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Folks, We got to be faithful to the end. Not just a few days, not just a few years, but as long as the Lord leaves us here till He calls us on. Enoch walked by faith, he walked in fellowship, and he walked in faithfulness. Is that the way you're walking with God tonight?